Good morning. Good morning, Energizer Hobart and the Derwent Valley. Have a seat in Hobart and the Derwent Valley. You can stay standing for the next 50 minutes just to keep you engaged. No, only joking. Because I know you'd sit down anyway, so might as well save my breath. But who knows that Simon and Jane are doing a fantastic job up in the valley. Give them a hand, because Alex and I have both been up to the valley recently, and we both came back raving about the service up there. So they're doing a fantastic job, just like the team here is in Hobart. Lizzie, Josh and Katie and the team, what a great effort today. Doesn't it look awesome? Fantastic. And I love the generational mix of our worship team this morning. Well done, Joey. Great worship leading. Loved it. Good stuff. Give him a hand. So our theme, as you can see, is the state of your origin. Obviously, we're in the southern states, so we're not going to promote and get excited about that other code.
Amen.
Come on. See, what I've done is, if you're public speaking, what I did there was bad. Because you just alienate and you lose half of your audience straight away. So I've just done that. So come on, come back. Yeah, I just want to talk to the intelligent half. Ah, I've just lost you again. Yeah. But really what it was about was, I want to ask you, what's the state, and you can see we've had a play on words there, but what's the state of your origin? In other words, when you think about your origin or where you come from, what do you think about? And do you have an understanding of where you've come from, who's gone before you, and what makes you you? And it's interesting, some of us have a reasonable understanding of that. Some of us, you know, relate to our origin with a sense of pride, and it sort of makes up who we are, like Grant Mullen and Frankston and his birthmarks, you know, he relates to that with pride. Whereas sometimes your origin might be something that you don't get, you don't understand, perhaps you don't even appreciate it. Perhaps there are things that have happened in your origin that are unfair. Perhaps you've been betrayed by people who should have been looking after you. There's all manner of things that actually go on that make up our origin and who we are. Now, I'm probably in a fairly blessed sort of situation, because I'm fortunate, because I know my extended family fairly well, and have had connection with quite a large extended family. And then I got married to Alex. And I've enjoyed a fantastic relationship with Alex's family. And I've got my father-in-law, who I think is fantastic, here this morning. And of course, I've got my father here. I'll come to that in a minute. Who is also fantastic. And so, you know, not everybody actually has that. So what I'm saying is, it's great, and I'm blessed because of that. But I just come with me on this journey. I'm fortunate enough to have actually met both my great-grandmothers. And so they were both still alive when I was a kid. So I've met both my great-grandmothers. And I've had a great relationship with my father, and still do, of course. And I had a good relationship with my grandfather. So I have some understanding of where I've come from, which I think has been helpful to me in my life. Now, I never ever met my maternal grandfather. That's my mum's dad. He died when mum was about 12, I believe. So I only understand a little bit of my grandfather on my mum's side from what I've been told. I never really got to know him. I never understood a whole lot about him. And even us as kids growing up, that was almost a little bit of a mystery, because we only knew little bits and pieces that we gleaned along the way. It wasn't like anybody was keeping things from us. It's just how it goes. So in some ways, that's a little bit of a mystery to me. That's a part of my origin, and perhaps that part of my family I don't know a lot about. And I think if we all started asking those questions, we would have that. And there is something about us that yearns for our origin. Who's watched that SBS show? I've got it written down in my notes somewhere. Where did I come from? That's the one, Grant. And they do a DNA test. And then they analyze the DNA and they look at all these things that actually made you up. And, you know, they do a bit of a trek back to all parts of the world. And you found that, you know, some people were finding roots back in Africa. And, you know, they had an indigenous Australian and he was finding connection back in Africa as part of his DNA. And people were, you know, all over the world. And it was really interesting on this makeup, this origin, if you like, that somehow we actually carry with us in our DNA. And it's like the more we understand about our DNA, the more interesting it is, because it's like all these things actually don't go away. They somehow come with us and they're printed on the inside of us. Some of us might have lots of questions or perhaps feel quite alone or feel like part of us is missing as we don't relate or don't understand or have sadness perhaps or disappointment or even deep hurt or indifference about parts of our origin. And by and large, these factors are beyond our control. These factors, you know, the way that as a child, the way that your parents treat you isn't something that you can control. The way that your grandparents and your great-grandparents and others in your world lived and the decisions that they made and what happened isn't something that you can control. You're just somehow a product of all those things. You might feel like you've been defined by the mistakes of those who have gone before you. You might feel like the mistakes of those that have gone before you somehow defines you. You might think, well, if my dad could have made some better decisions, well, my life would be different. If my dad could have made some more money, well, then we wouldn't have had to scrape as kids and I would have had better opportunities and I might have gone to university but now I'm just a plumber. Josh Swift. It's never just a plumber, by the way. There's no doubt your origin's important, and we're all products of those that have been before us. And perhaps that doesn't seem like good news to some of you this morning. Well, I've actually got some really good news for you. You see, you do not have to be defined by what has happened to you and those that have gone before you. You do not have to be defined by what has happened to you and those that have gone before you. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat that. They are important factors. And all of us have got things that we've got to deal with and understand and process because of what has happened to us and those that have gone before us. But you know what? Those things do not have to define you. They do not have to define and set your future by what has happened to you and what has come before you. I want to give you some truths this morning about your origin. I haven't got a long time to speak this morning, but I want to just give you some truths about your origin. So truth number one, and this won't surprise many of you, but it is the most powerful truth that you can possibly get your head around as a human being. And truth number one is you were created in God's image. You are created in the image of God. And if you go right back to the start of the Bible, now, let's not get hang up when you read stuff like this on how it happened. The important thing is the intent behind it. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. In other words, there was something about humanity that was given a level that was above the animals. And you don't have to, you know, there's all sorts of talk about, you know, trying to bring equalization into that in today's day and age. And I'm all for the fact that we should actually be respecting and showing respect to living beings. I'm not talking about that. But you know what? God created you different. As smart as even the smartest primates are, you know, I've never seen them build a motorbike. Never seen them build a skyscraper. I've never seen them come anywhere close to that. So there is something special in humanity that sets us apart. There's no doubt about that at all. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. You see, if God is of great and infinitive worth, then you being made in his image must be of immense value too. See, if God is of great and infinitive worth, in other words, you can't even work out the magnitude and the worth of Almighty God, and you've been created in that same image, well, then your value is beyond being able to put a price tag on. You are of great and infinitive worth because you're created in that image. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, said, "There are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal." And I like something here that James reminds us, the Apostle James, in his book, he says, "With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God." So he reminds us that to actually attack a person is to actually attack God through the image bearer being that person. In other words, if I was to pick on somebody, Grant will do. We've already had a go at him this morning. You know, and if I do some sort of character assassination on Grant, and then, you know, and I take it a bit further, and I talk about the way that he looks and the build that he has, and I start to really pull him down, yes, that would be hurtful to Grant, but I'm actually taking it beyond that. I'm actually criticizing And I'm actually pulling down the Almighty God who has actually put his image into Grant. So next time you're watching TV and you want to pass judgment on some announcer or some supermodel or some prime minister, as we do in Australia, there's a sense of talking about what they represent. But let's separate the person from all that and understand that every person was created in the image of God. So everybody carries that value in them. So we shouldn't be, in a sense, you know, disparaging and pulling people down, because there's an essence we're actually pulling our God down who made them with his image. All people have value as they carry the image of God. All right, truth number two. You carry the breath of God. Number two is you carry the breath of God. And I'll explain that in a sec. In Genesis 2 verse 7 it says, "Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and he became a living being." Now if you start to break that down a bit, you understand that all life carries breath. And there's a big difference when you look at something, when its last breath has gone, you know that the lights have turned out and life has gone. But the breath of God is more than just breath. In the case of humanity, is actually your spirit. That God actually placed in all of humanity an eternal spirit. It's why C.S. Lewis was touching on the fact that you don't get a mere mortal. You don't get a mere mortal. Yes, we have a mortality in the sense of our journey in the physical realm and on this earth. But C.S. Lewis says, you know what? None of us are mere mortals because we are spiritual beings. And as somebody else said, we're actually spiritual beings having a physical experience. You know, you're not your mortality. Yes, we're aware of that. We know that if I jump on that motorbike and I ride it for long enough and are silly enough, well, my mortality might come into question. But the fact is, my spirit, no matter how stupid I am on a motorbike, my spirit will continue to live on. And you know, the Bible tells us, you know, that God has put eternity in the hearts of men because you have eternity in your spirit. Adam received breath, but listen, he also received a spirit which I believe has the DNA of Almighty God in it. So when we're created in the image of God, you receive a spirit, and that spirit actually carries, it actually carries the origin of its maker. It's like it's got the DNA of God in your spirit. And that's what it means to actually have the breath of God inside us. James 2:26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. A body must have spirit to live. If you're alive, you have a spirit which carries the DNA of God. You have more than just, you know, life. You actually have the breath of the very Almighty God inside you. That is an important part of your origin. It's an important part of where you come from. Right, truth number three. You don't only carry the DNA of God, but you are loved by a good Father. You see, there are plenty of people walking around, and there'll be people here in this room this morning where you would relate to this. You certainly carry the DNA of your Father. You know, perhaps you look like him, and when you stand alongside, there is no doubt that you carry his DNA. But perhaps your journey with that Father has been one where you have not experienced his love and his affirmation in the way that perhaps you needed it. But I want to say, in a spiritual sense right here this morning, that you are loved by a good Father. Not only do you have his DNA, but you are loved and affirmed by him. In 2 Peter 1:17, it says, and this is talking about Jesus here, it says, he received honor and glory from God the Father when a voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son who I'm loved, and in him I'm well pleased. Listen to the way that God the Father talks about his Son. So Jesus was just about to start his earthly ministry. He was just about to start going public and taking a whole lot of stuff on. And it was at his baptism, there was this voice that just sort of appeared from somewhere. And it says, this is my Son who I am well pleased with. Second Corinthians 6:18 says, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. When we come into the kingdom of God, we actually take on the sense that we are adopted into the family of God, and we very much become sons and daughters about God. The reason I read that verse in the way that the Father talked about his Son, the original Son, is that that is exactly the way that he thinks and talks about you. If you're in the kingdom of God, he looks at Grant, seeing as we're going with that theme this morning, and he says, this is my Son, and in him I am well pleased. He doesn't see the Frankston birthmarks, he doesn't see all the stuff that Grant wishes he could delete, take away. He just actually sees somebody that was created in his image and somebody who's reached out to him and is in his family, and he sees the value, the purpose, the future. He sees all that he is, and he looks at him and he says, "Grant, you are my son, and I am well pleased." And he says that about every single person in this place. You see, whether you're in the kingdom of God or not, that is his heart towards you. But when we come into the kingdom of God, we actually open ourselves to a place where we can actually receive that sort of value and affirmation. Truth number four. You come from the Father. And we all know that we came from an earthly father, but you know, if you want to really understand where you came from, you want to understand your DNA, you actually come from the Heavenly Father. As a son or a daughter of God, we can learn a lot from the original son, Jesus. Jesus said, "I come from my Father." He never doubted where he came from, who he was, and where he was going. And it says this in John 16:28. He's talking to his disciples and he says, "Yes, I came from the Father into this world, and now I will leave this world and return to the Father." So I think if you want to try and analyze and understand why Jesus' ministry was so effective, the first thing that most people say, "Oh, well, he was God. Of course he could do that." But yes, he was God, but he was 100% human. So he actually had to overcome all the stuff that we have to overcome. He actually had to deal with insecurity. He had to deal with understanding his origin. He had to deal with all those things. But his father publicly affirmed him and reinforced his origin right at the outset of his ministry. So even though Jesus was God, he was 100% human. In his humanity, he would have needed and had a need for security and truth-based affirmation. And I think all of us actually have a need for truth-based affirmation. He said, it's very well to be affirmed in a patronizing sort of way, isn't it? "Oh, there, you know, you're awesome, man." You know, but you know, what you actually want, if you want true affirmation, is it to be based on truth, on something that's real and something that matters. You see, and God the Father spoke to him with truth-based affirmation. He said, "You are my son. And if you're my son, you are awesome. And if you're my son, I will never let you go. If you're my son, you know where you come from. If you are my son, well, then you have the resources of heaven at your disposal for what you're called to do." See, the thing about a good relationship with a family and a father is somehow you just feel like those resources that the father has are at your disposal. Whether that's supposed to be or not, you just do that. You know, as teenagers, you know, you don't walk in and say, "Oh, Dad, I am so pleased that you worked so hard this week and that you've got our fridge filled with food." You walk in and you open the door. And if you're a teenage boy, you scoff everything that you can. And the next day, hopefully, it just magically refills. You know, there is a sense of entitlement in that, isn't there? And as earthly parents, we get a bit, can sometimes feel a bit taken for granted in that. But you know what? God the Father doesn't look at you like that. He doesn't say, "Oh, he's emptied the fridge again. The rotten little blighter. Goodness me, he needs to learn. Actually, next week, I'm going to put a padlock on that fridge." He's actually saying, "No, you are my son, and you share in the resources of all heaven, and I actually want you to come to me boldly, and I want you to open the fridge. I want you to expect that you have the resources of heaven at your disposal to do what you're called to do." He wants that. That's the sort of relationship that he has with us. You see, Jesus' security that he had in the Father enabled him to minister from a place of security, strength, and even vulnerability. So I think we struggle with vulnerability the more insecure that we feel, don't we? Because when we're insecure, we've actually got to put on a bit of a front and we find it really hard to be vulnerable. We've got to cover those things up. But you may not have had, if the worship team want to join me, please, that would be cool. You may have had a less than ideal experience in understanding the state of your origin. And to those ends, perhaps you even battle with feelings of insecurity and value. You've been created to know your origin. It's why shows like that one I talked about before, that SBS one, Where I Came From. You know, we're all interested in that because there's something, there's a yearning in us that wants to know. And our physical origin is important to understand. I'm not pretending it's not. But regardless of where we've come from, the most important thing that you can understand, the most important thing that is actually going to help you, is grasping the state of your spiritual origin. See, there's not a person in here who's a mistake or a muck up. Even with the infallibility of our own humanity, even with all that happens to us, we've actually got a God who has a plan and a purpose which is beyond anything that you can imagine. And it tells us in the Bible that before the world even existed, such is the magnitude of Almighty God that every single one of us actually existed in the intelligence of God, in His understanding, before the world was created. And all that individual DNA, it's like it was suddenly, we took our first breath. Somehow supernaturally, that spirit that we carry all that inside us. There's no one here that's a mere mortal. There's no one here that's a mere accident. You all come from somewhere, and you're all going somewhere. And life was never just meant to happen to you. See, the fact that you carry the DNA of God means that you have actually been given not only the ability and the understanding, but you've also been given the power and the authority to determine your own destiny. Sure, there'll be stuff in this world that you can't change and fix, but ultimately you get the chance, you get the opportunity to determine your spiritual destiny, which will actually have a huge impact on your physical destiny. And I believe that happens in the little things and the big things. Things that we call coincidences. Things that we don't understand. This week, Alex and I we're really lucky, we got to have a couple of days away, and we were up at Pump House Point on the edge of Lake St. Clair, and we didn't have a lot of notice that we could go away, and we sort of booked it fairly late, and there was only one room left, and the rooms up there are relatively expensive, but there was only one room left, and it was the cheapest room, so almost that sort of felt good to us. So we booked that. That was cool. We were really happy. We go up there, we get there, And you know, this happens to other people, but I don't remember it happening to me many times. We get there and they said, "Oh, we've upgraded you." Anyway, we walked in and we've got this amazing room. It's got sort of 180 degree panorama views through the window of Lake St. Clair and Mount Rufus and Mount Olympus and snow-capped mountains, and just absolutely stunningly beautiful. Just with the busyness of our life and what's been going on in our world, I could say, that was lucky. But actually, I chose to say, "My Father, bless me." I don't know why we got upgraded, but they obviously wanted to reshuffle some rooms and do something. But, you know, we were blessed in that moment. And your Father, who understands where you came from, wants you to determine your destiny, and he wants you to be in a position to continually receive his blessing in the little things, like a room, and the big things that really matter. This morning, just as we close the service, we're going to stand and we're going to sing in a minute, and we're going to have some fun after the service here. That I want to ask you the most important question that I can ask you. Are you at peace with the state of your origin? In other words, have you made peace with where you come from and where you're going? When I talk about Almighty God, is Almighty God concept? Is Almighty God represent judgment? Does Almighty God represent perhaps even injustice or cruelty? Or does Almighty God represent a loving Father who is so concerned about you? Regardless of where you've been, what your physical makeup is, the decisions that you've made, what has happened to you, whether you've been betrayed, whether unfair things have gone on to you, all those things that make you up. Because I want to say, I believe and I know very strongly from personal experience and my study of the Word of God that He absolutely loves you. And if you can't say this morning that you have a relationship and an understanding of that, I want to give you that opportunity right now. You see, a loving God, a righteous God, is also a just God. And the brokenness of our world, the Bible calls it sin, separates us from God. And if we've never come to a place where we've been able to say, you know what, I'm part of that system. I've contributed to that in my own way. I've been rebellious towards God. If you've never been able to come to Him and say, I acknowledge that and I'm sorry, and I thank you that you did something about it, that you allowed your own Son to die on a cross and pay the price and deal with that once and for all, so that there is nothing that can get in the way of you hearing, "You are my beloved son or daughter, and I am so proud of you." And if this morning you know that you can't hear that, and it's not part of your reality, and you're not sure where you're going, and you don't have that security on the inside, if you would come just in humility and say, "You know, God, I accept your love. I accept that you are God. I accept, Jesus, that you died for me and paid the price for my sin. And I want to accept you right now." That miracle can happen in your life. Your spirit can be transformed in a moment. And just bow our heads, close our eyes. If this morning, if you know that you can't say, "Hey, Dave, you know, I know that I'm right with God. I know that I'm right with God. I feel loved by my Heavenly Father. I feel accepted. I feel like I'm enough." If you can't say that, and you want to be able to say that, if you want to reach out to Him right now and accept His love for you, I would love to lead you in a prayer that just allows you to connect with Him in that way. If that's you, just slip your hand up while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, right where you are. Just give me a wave so I know who I'm praying for and who's part of that. Just slip your hand up quick. Say, hey, Dave, that's me. I'd like to do that this morning. I'm not totally sure where I stand with God. Well, you might be really sure. You might know that you're not right with Him. Maybe your heart's beating a little bit. This is the most important question I could possibly ask this morning. So if that's you, just sweep your hand up real quick. Say, that's me, Dave. I need to do that. Praise God. Is there anybody else that needs to do that? Just give me a quick wave and I'll include you in that prayer. Okay. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. Father God, I thank you that you love me. Right now, this morning, I accept that love. I'm sorry for my sin. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. Make me new. Make me clean. In Jesus' name.